Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. It's this week's going to be quite a bit on the Cardinals and Seahawks for many reasons. Of course, it's this shutdown game for the Cardinals to actually shut up people like myself who have said, you know, teams you played are 14-36, 14 wins, 36 losses. And they only have one team on the schedule the rest of the way with a losing record. So clearly, either I'm going to be really, really right or probably really, really wrong unless they go 500 down the stretch. So that'll be somewhere in between. I haven't said that they're a bad team. It's just beat somebody good. That's all. In the next 2 weeks, they have Seattle at Seattle, and they didn't win there last year. And they have Cincinnati here on a Sunday night. The next 2 weeks are Sunday night football. So we're going to sit here the next couple of weeks and either say, see, told you so. I think if they come out of this 1-1, if you split these next two games, it's really hard to win at Seattle. Really, really hard to win at Seattle. And Vegas does not have the Cardinals favored, and I'm not surprised by this. They shouldn't be favored. But they're back to work, and so Peter King will be with us here in about 15 minutes for our weekly segment. Peter will Skype with us from, actually, he's at 10:30 today. My bad. Peter will be with us in about 20 minutes. He'll Skype with us from New York City. That'll be Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback, Sports Illustrated, NBC, Sunday Night Football. He joins us every week. We'll talk about the Cardinals game. Watching the Chargers and Bears last night, man, those two teams are bad. Whew. Whew. And you talk about teams that aren't smart. I don't know about you guys. I will sound like get off my lawn guy here. But if any of you think that it's really cool, like Cam Newton did something the other day that Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were just kind of laughing at him. It was so dumb. He thought he had a first down against Green Bay. And whenever Cam Newton gets a first down, he stands up and he makes like the arrow thing, like first down and makes the mark and all that stuff. I think Joe Buck said, yeah, it was a 4-yard gain. He's short of the first down and he's celebrating. Like, dude, we get it. You want to be on camera. I get it. It's the day and age of look at me, look at me, look at me. So last night, here are the poor Chargers, and they stink. They're not good at all. And they're losing their wide receivers right and left, and they're like, I don't know, 6 yards from the end zone, and Stevie Johnson makes a catch and gets up and spikes the football. Of course he does. And it's a 15-yard personal foul. There's reasons why teams aren't good. It's not just the talent on the field. It's between the ears. And of course, what is he going to say afterwards? I have to play smarter next time. Yeah, okay. So here's San Diego trying to win the game last night. Not only do they have a guy spiking the ball after a 6-yard catch, but they also have an offensive lineman that is 5 yards down the field beyond the line of scrimmage on a touchdown catch that gets wiped out. So, you know, just two plays you look at and say, the Bears are not good. Jay Cutler made a great throw to Zach Miller. It was a great game to watch last night.
Not that Zach Miller, though.
Not that Zach Miller. Did anybody on Twitter get fooled by that one?
I almost did. I almost put something out there, and then I heard the announcer talking about, this kid started at the University of Nebraska and then transferred to Nebraska, Omaha. I'm like, the other Zach Miller.
Almost got you.
And I found it pretty humorous, Brad, because I caught the tail end of the game that, so the Bears have had very little success rushing the passer, and apparently this guy, who had one sack all year, had 2 sacks on the final drive of the game.
Yeah. Well, you're a Charger fan.
I am a Charger fan.
Yeah. That will be their final Monday night game in San Diego.
I think you're right. I think they're...
And people are like, you grew up there. How could you be so mean? How could you be so cold-hearted? I even have family members that get mad at me. It's like, I don't know. I'm just not that attached to any team, and... they stink.
They had a big crowd last night for two reasons. Number one, it was a Monday Night Football game.
It was a Bears crowd.
And number two, it was probably 50-50 Bears-Charger fans.
Yeah. And so here's two teams that aren't good at all. And I watched a good amount of it. I did watch the Coyotes game up until overtime because I'm just
nice win.
I gotta close it down here at some point. But it was a good win for them. And they've got the Kings tonight. So, you know what, in watching the NFL and seeing the Bears, and I will say that I was on this early, that the Cardinals caught a break by playing the Bears early in John Fox's tenure. John Fox is too good of a coach, and he had a roster that wasn't good. And good coaches, the team gets better as the season progresses. And so they played them at the ideal time. I think the same would go for the New Orleans Saints. I would much rather have played New Orleans back in September than playing them now. I'm not saying the Saints are great, but they look a heck of a lot more cohesive now than they did 6-8 weeks ago. So I think the Cardinals caught a break there playing these two teams early. Yeah, I'm not sitting here with pom-poms today that are red and white. I don't get paid to do that. I hope the Cardinals prove me wrong here and go out and win the next two games. And then they can just say, see, you know, it's guys like you that are just so, you know, you're not supporting us. Oh, I don't need to support a team that's beaten squads that are 14 and 36. This is your time to show that you are that good of a team. So the expectations here should be a lot higher. You know, oh, it's so great. We're 6-2. Yeah, it's better than 2-6, but, you know, shut people up here the next few weeks. That's all. I'll talk to Peter about it. I saw the playoff brackets. So if the playoffs were held today, the Cardinals would play Atlanta with the winner meeting Green Bay. And I look at Atlanta as a team that made an absolutely horrible coaching decision late in their game. Dan Quinn did on Sunday against the awful 49ers. And the Packers right now are just trying to find themselves. It's early. I get it. It's midseason. But you still look at it and say they've got a lot to play for. They would have to go on the road. And that's another reason why this game Sunday is crucial. Absolutely crucial. But when you have teams like the Giants in the playoffs right now, Giants aren't very good. Or is it just balance and mediocrity in the NFC? So a lot to get to with Peter King. ASU and U of A and the coaching carousel involving Rich Rodriguez, I'm going to go into that a little bit further in the next segment and also talk about ASU. The Sun Devils yesterday landed another local kid, and I had some people that were all over me on Twitter, which is fine. It's at Brad Sussmat. You know, why aren't you praising this more? You act so nonchalant, yet you hammer the team all the time. They're going to get Chase Lucas all along. This was no surprise. This is no shock. It's still very good on their part. So that's where, on the recruiting end of things, it's not like I'm going to sit here on November 10th and say all is well, all is solved. I've seen too many kids flip-flop, and if you think that there aren't going to be schools still coming after these kids, then you don't know the world of recruiting. It's just how it goes. Matt Barnes is on my mind today. When Matt Barnes was with the Phoenix Suns, he was one of those grit, grime, Danny Ainge. You hate him when he's on your team or when he's on other teams. You love him when he's on your team. So there's a dilemma there with Matt Barnes and Derek Fisher. Eric, did you hear about this story, a little problem with Matt Barnes?
I did.
So we're going to go into this dilemma here. Coming up in the next segment, on top of the college stuff. When do you cross a line as a dad and when it's with a former teammate who's now with your woman? So we've got that to get into because the NBA is looking into what happened with Matt Barnes and a former teammate of his. The Suns are off till Thursday when they host the Clippers, and Golden State is now 8-0. I had some people that talked to me about the Suns yesterday, sent me some notes about how unlikable they are. They are not embraceable. So I want to get into that a little bit in the next segment. I don't know if I totally agree with that. I think there is something to it. I wouldn't say across the board, though. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Peter King will be with us. Dan Gavitt's going to join us a little bit later this morning. NCAA Vice President for Men's Basketball. The Final Four logo is being unveiled in about an hour. I want to talk to him about what happened at Missouri and some of the issues around college sports. Stay with us.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
God, I'm tired of Rex Ryan. I am so tired of Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan, I'm looking on Twitter, and just because he makes a captain from the guy that punched Geno Smith out, and he's gotten his doors beat in already a few times this year. It's like low-hanging fruit in our industry. Let's just throw something Rex up, and we'll see how many clicks we get on it. Just enough. Red Starbucks cups and Rex Ryan. Just please get out of my life, both of you. During the break, Jordan Hamm is getting a big assignment, and he came in here. I think he's nervous. He's flying today. He's interviewing Sylvester Stallone tomorrow for us. And he's actually interviewing Michael B. Jordan for the movie Creed. I don't know if you guys have seen the trailer for that. I usually go on these junkets, but I just wanted to see one of the people on staff completely soil themselves. So I said, you got to go. Does he seem like he's going to be all right?
He'll be fine. He'll tower over Sylvester Stallone because Jordan's like 5'9".
I told him to tell Stallone you're overrated just to see how he'd come back. You know, I want to see if Rocky still has his punch.
Are you interested in seeing that movie?
I'm not. I don't care. You?
50-50. Saw the trailer last night and I was like,
doesn't look bad.
It looks okay.
There's just too many other good things going on. I'm really into wanting to see Concussion, and I'm going to Concussion back in New York in December. That's not to say that Creed won't do well and that you guys won't be into it. I'm just like, Rocky's played out and this is Apollo's son, so they're gonna have some fun on that front. Let's go back over to ASU, and then I'll get into the Suns here a little bit before we get to Peter King. I'm just not going to make some of you very happy, and that's not my intent every day, just to drive in and say, I've got to piss you off and move the needle and get you so mad, and that's the only way you can make it in this business, because I don't believe that. You know, we've been doing this for a long time, and I just think if you shoot straight and say what you think, and opinion based on fact, as I like to say, you may have everybody has an opinion. It's just yours is wrong. I don't mean that to all of you. I just mean sometimes in general. But as we're seeing the narrative of ASU around town, when they've had just an awful year, turn to how great it is that they're recruiting such great players. And it's like, let's immediately take the focus off the here and now. And in my opinion, that is why Arizona State has just been this mirage of a program through the years. Doesn't matter if it's Todd or Dennis or Dirk or even Bruce. As long as I've been here, there's always just this, let's try to spin this around that it's really not that bad and that we're happy being mediocre. No, sometimes you're going to go through agony and skin your knees and skin your elbows, and you got to accept it and pretend that it's not, and not sit here and pretend it's not happening. So I'm not going to get all warm and fuzzy on November 10th about kids giving verbal commitments. It's fine. It's fine. But I've seen enough of these kids. Who was it? Joshua Dobbs. Joshua Dobbs is a guy that comes to my mind when I'm talking about recruiting. If you don't know Joshua Dobbs and Todd Graham, well, maybe you should. Maybe you should go Google it and see what happened. Josh Dobbs was the quarterback in Todd's first class here. Problem is, the day of letter of intent day, he decided, I'm not coming to ASU. I'm going to Tennessee. And Joshua Dobbs has actually played pretty, wouldn't you say, Eric, he's played pretty well for Tennessee?
He's been a good quarterback. He hasn't been an elite quarterback, but he's been good.
Okay, so if he had come here, would he have beaten out Mike Bercovici?
Yes.
No question. More fleet of foot. Okay. Better scrambler.
So would he have overlapped with Taylor Kelly?
He would have overlapped with Taylor Kelly. There would have been more competition at that quarterback spot. I remember sitting there at ASU on letter of intent day when they put the pictures up of all the guys. It's kind of like the scene in Animal House where they're trying to figure out the new pledge members and they put the pictures up and they tell you how great they are, right? Same sort of deal. This is so-and-so. And I'm the guy in the room that says afterwards, so, Todd, you don't have a quarterback in this class. Well, we had something happen that's unfortunate because he can't say a kid decommitted on us. So understand that while there's this huge, big, oh, my gosh, look at the great job that's going on at Arizona State, until they sign, because we're talking about not only kids that are 17, 18 years of age that change their minds in a moment. We're talking about people around them that get excited that they have a $3,000 inflatable to run out of onto a football field. Okay? So there's people that get really caught up in this stuff that sometimes look around and say, well, this may not be the best fit for you. And coaches are not going to stop recruiting once a kid gives a verbal. So we can get all excited and write about how great this stuff is and talk about it, and it's fine. But I'm also giving you the other side of the street. and just use Joshua Dobbs, and I'm sure there's dozens of others. Kalen Ballage was 50-50 at best. If not for a snowstorm, Kalen Ballage may not have come to Arizona State. And that was the day of letter of intent. So please check yourself when you start getting into this stuff and saying, why aren't you going all out and Google? It's not my thing. On the Arizona side of the street, with Rich Rod's uncertainty, they've already lost a kid that decommitted from them who was considered to be one of the top defensive players in this year's class. And they're sitting there right now with their coach front and center with all these other jobs, making it very difficult. Do I think they've been able to break through a little bit in the state? Yeah, I do. I would take Nate Phillips if I'm an Arizona State fan. He went to Basha High School. He's killing it down there. I think with their lack of receiving depth, he'd be a pretty good fit up here. They would say otherwise, but I believe so. I think that there's been some players that have decided, let's put the toe in the water and go to Tucson. There's been some injuries that have happened down there. But for as just disappointing, bitterly disappointing, and brutal as this football season has gone in Tempe and in Tucson, to take the easy way out on November 10th and say, oh my gosh, we're just killing it in recruiting, come on.
And remember, they're commitments. They're not signed. They're commitments.
February 3rd, our biggest day of the year on what we've done here the last 4 years, I should say one of our biggest days of the year, but it's certainly top three, top four, is letter of intent day. And these coaches are all holding their breaths because guys come in at the last minute. Changes are made. I have to believe, Eric, that Todd's staff, okay, there's not a chance that Todd's staff comes back 100% intact. When there's these things that happen, when you have a season like this, I can't just chalk it up to, wow, we're this close and these bad breaks happen and it's the referee's fault. Todd was not hired by Ray. And there's people at ASU and their upper administration that want to see a football program that performs. You cannot have these types of years when you're in a stadium fundraising mode and facilities fundraising mode. So you don't know if these kids, it's great news. What's going on right now, I'll tell you, is great news for the position coaches at ASU and for security. It's terrific because the last thing ASU needs is these 17 and 18-year-olds to decommit on them. So the bonds that have been built, the bridges that have been built, doesn't matter if the present-day coaching has not been good. And everybody's accountable on this. The players are accountable. I've said flat out there should be players getting opportunities here these last three games. Be damned what happens in the U of A game if I'm an ASU fan. You know, I think that there's more pressure if you come down to the U of A-ASU game. That game's 11 days from now, which is amazing to think about. We're just that close to that game taking place.
And what you see a lot, Brad, getting back to the recruiting real quick, is so these kids will verbally commit to a school, and then the school will go out and say, you're a quarterback and you've committed to a school. The school that you committed to will sign another quarterback.
Of course they will.
And then all of a sudden it's, do I really want to go there? I mean, it's happened a couple times here locally where...
Rice Perkins, Brady White.
Uh-huh. Where, yep, I'm going, I'm committed, and then all of a sudden, oh, they signed another quarterback.
Well, correct.
They didn't tell me they were going to sign another quarterback. All of a sudden, that school doesn't look quite as enticing as it did when I verbally committed to them.
Well, it's Anu in Tucson last year was really interesting how Rich had, what was it, seven quarterbacks at one point
yeah.
down there last year? He just kept bringing them in. It didn't matter.
I think he's down to like four now.
There's something good about competition. Look, there's something good about that.
If it's good competition, if you just got a bunch of guys and you just have a bunch of guys.
Well, it's like this Thursday, okay? This Thursday, the top quarterback in next year's class is going to announce where he's going to go to school. And I was talking with someone last night about it, and I'm just kind of like, okay, yeah, if he puts on the hat and the gloves and says he's going, doesn't mean a darn thing to me on November 12th. It doesn't matter. The kid still has 14 months before he signs the paperwork. Come on. Are you hearing yourselves? Last night, the top freshman quarterback in our state was offered by UCLA and Arizona State. Last night. And he just finished his freshman year. So, yeah, I'm just telling you to tap the brakes on this. Peter King in about 4 minutes. On the NBA side, so I wanted to get over to this story. Matt Barnes was a former Phoenix Sun. And Matt Barnes is one of those players that you just, when he's not on your team, you just hate him. And Matt Barnes isn't happy with the way Knicks coach Derek Fisher handled the aftermath of an altercation last month in L.A. So what happened last month is Fisher and Barnes, who were teammates with the Lakers, I know there's a lot of Laker fans here in the Valley and across the state, they were involved in a physical altercation in L.A. last month during a party at the home of Barnes' ex-wife. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver recently said the league is investigating the incident, no time frame on possible punishment. Barnes telling ESPN that he was responding to concerning texts from his son when he went to the home of his ex-wife. Barnes said both his sons were uncomfortable that another man was at the home of his ex-wife, so he drove there to check on the situation. Situation escalated from there. Declined to comment further on allegations and altercation because of potential litigation. Redondo Beach Police Department said officers responded to the incident, Barnes, Fisher, and the woman. No charges would be filed. So now fans are getting on Matt Barnes by chanting Derek Fisher whenever he touches the ball at games. He's with the Memphis Grizzlies. So you have two teammates. You have a woman involved, but you have your kids involved. And so, you know, I hear this, and Fisher, who's coaching the Knicks, of course it's the Knicks coach that's in the middle of all this, because the Knicks stink. The Knicks have a guy who pounds nails and puts up 40 shots a game, and Carmelo Anthony, pounding nails, gets the ball, bounce, 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 shot clock down to three. I'm going to jack one up because I got to get my 40 shots, even though I'm only going to make 10 of them. So this story caught my eye today. Peter King is next. The Monday morning quarterback, the best in the business, SI.com senior NFL writer. That's on the other side on the Cardinals at Seattle. Underdogs by three. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's dive headlong into the Cardinals game at Seattle on Sunday night. It'll be on NBC. You will see Peter King on NBC, SI.com senior NFL writer, the MMQB, as the Cardinals, a three-point underdog from the Wise Guys in Vegas, against the Seahawks. How different is this Seattle team, Peter, from the one that was in the Super Bowl?
Brad, I think there's two basic differences. Number one, I think a year ago, Marshawn Lynch was in the middle of a dominant season. Ended up with a, whatever, 1,300 plus yards, almost 5 yards a carry. This year, behind a absolutely rebuilt offensive line, he's struggling. He's down in the threes, yards per carry, and I mean, as crazy as it seems, we're entering week 10 of the season, and Thomas Rawls has one more rushing yard than Marshawn Lynch. 2 months ago, no one other than probably his family ever heard of Thomas Rawls. So, I mean, that's a little bit different, but I think the biggest difference, I highlighted this week in my Monday morning quarterback column at the MMQB, that Russell Wilson is on pace to get hit far, far more than he's ever been hit in his life. And for people who don't necessarily think that that's that big a deal and, oh, he'll be okay, I think the reason is for that, Brad, that every time you see Russell Wilson, it always seems like he's taking abuse and he's the Energizer Bunny. He always, always, always comes back and looks fine. But as I wrote this week in my column, you know, he has been hit this year, either sacked or significant hits, 69 times. In 8 games. Last year through 8 games, he had been hit with significant hits only 43 times. So, I mean, that's up about 60%, maybe a little less than 60%. So you ask yourself the question, and I talked to him. He said, hey, I'm fine. I'm 100%, all that. But that's what Russell Wilson says all the time. If I were the Cardinals, I would really be looking at ways to try to take advantage of some of the weak links on that offensive line.
Peter King joins us via Skype. And to follow up on that, Peter, with the MMQB, Jimmy Graham trade from a distance just looks like it hasn't worked out. Would you go that far? Or is it still a work in progress?
Well, I would put it somewhere about halfway between not working out and Percy Harvin. But keep this in mind, Brad. In the last 3 weeks, okay, so, you know, as Russell Wilson continues to get used to him, in the last 3 weeks, he has averaged per game 8 targets and 6 catches. And he's averaged about, I don't know, about 90 yards a game. So I think what's happening right now is that they're getting more and more used to him, and he's getting more and more used to them. The word on the street when they acquired him, they thought that, hey, he's an underrated blocker. He's going to do a good job blocking. But in my opinion, he's not an underrated blocker. He's a bad blocker, and he's an oftentimes unwilling blocker. So that, to me, that always says that, okay, you know, Jimmy Graham might come out of the game on some downs that good blocking tight ends would stay in the game, like Tyler Eifert, Rob Gronkowski. They're not coming out of the game very often, but Graham might, because they know that he's not – if he gives an effort, he's going to block fine. But too often, I just think he gives a mediocre effort trying to block. A
couple other questions for Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback via Skype, joining us from New York City. The Cardinals' 6 wins have come against teams with a combined record of 14-36. And so the next 2 weeks, it's Seattle there, Cincinnati here, both on NBC on Sunday Night Football. I guess in looking at this game this week, Vegas has them as a 3-point underdog, which makes perfect sense to me. They won at Seattle a couple of years ago, but is Seattle the toughest place? People will say it is the toughest place to play in all the NFL, but in your opinion, covering the league for all these years, is it the toughest place?
I think it's the toughest place because probably for 70% of the snaps you're going to have on offense, you are not going to be able to communicate with your team once you leave the huddle. Now, that doesn't mean you can't communicate with everyone. It means that you could still, and Carson Palmer will understand this, obviously, and a quarterback would understand this. You can communicate different protections if you wish to your offensive line. But what you can't do, other than through hand signals, you know, by raising your hands to your receivers, that's the only way you're going to be able to communicate with your receivers. And a lot of quarterbacks believe that I'd rather be able to communicate with my offensive line. So the other thing that offensive linemen, young, inexperienced offensive linemen, certainly not a guy like Yapati, but young, inexperienced offensive linemen will tell you that they really want to be careful in turning their head back and not making a jerking motion back to the quarterback to see and to try to hear exactly what he's saying, okay? Because oftentimes, if you jerk back, you know, the line judge could throw the flag and you Sure. could be guilty of a false start. So that's one of the other things that I think a lot of offensive linemen over the years, when you go to Seattle, there's a cautionary tale being told to young offensive linemen. Do not make any sudden movements on the line. If you can't hear, you know, turn around and or turn to one of your to the guy on either side and say, what is it? What is it? And I think those are the things that inexperienced teams have to deal with when they go to Seattle.
Before I let you go, if I'm looking at the NFC, I'm starting to look at Minnesota a lot more closely. And they had a matchup with St. Louis. It became contentious over hit. Zim got all worked up. What do you make out of the NFC with Minnesota coming into the mix? There's some teams there. Atlanta's kind of come back, Peter. The halfway turn, are the Vikings the surprise of the NFC in your opinion?
Well, I don't know anybody who would have expected the Vikings to be tied with Green Bay and to actually have the tiebreaker edge at the midpoint of the season over Green Bay, which they do. But you know, I still think I'd pump the brakes a little bit. I like the Vikings, and I think as of today, they got a very, very good chance to be a playoff team. But they haven't played the Packers yet, so they got 2 games left against the Packers. They had a tough trip to Oakland this week. It's not 100% that Bridgewater will play. He's in the concussion protocol, although he probably will. And look, although they won 4 in a row, you know, they've scored 16, 28, 23, and 21. So they're not blowing people out. at all. And I talked to Mike Zimmer the other day, and one of the things he said is, look, I want Teddy Bridgewater to take more chances. And Bridgewater's a guy who just doesn't like to make mistakes. He doesn't like to put his team in a bad position. But, you know, as I looked at it Sunday night, he's still, even though he's doing a very good job, he's still averaging a turnover a game. He's got six interceptions and two lost fumbles. So I think he ought to heed the advice of Mike Zimmer and Norv Turner. Hey, take some more shots downfield. You've got a good receiving group. Let them go up and fight for the ball. And I think that's what they'd like to see Teddy Bridgewater do a little bit more.
Appreciate the time and the insight as always, Peter. Thank you.
All the best, Brad. Talk to you next week.
Peter King with us for a couple of minutes, the Monday Morning Quarterback. Appreciate the time of him joining us. Really good stuff there. As always, SI.com, senior NFL writer, the MMQB Cardinals and Seahawks at the Link coming up. CenturyLink. I shouldn't say Link. That's the Eagles. CenturyLink Field. We get my links. Back with more. Dan Gavitt, the NCAA Vice President for Men's Basketball, is downtown. May join us, may not. With the Final Four basketball logo being unveiled, the issues at the University of Missouri, I want to talk to him about that, and much more as we continue on. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I don't know if there's a time to get the Seahawks. We're going to have Brock with us tomorrow. Is that right? We're going to Brock Huerta will be with us tomorrow from Seattle. He hosts his morning show on the Seahawks flagship station. And we'll also talk to him about University of Washington coming here this week against ASU. But if there's a time to get the Seahawks coming off of a bye where Russell is on a horse and he's got Sierra on it. Do we still have those from yesterday, Jared Nielsen? Yeah. If you missed it, because, you know, audiences come in and out. If you missed it, Russell Wilson, not only was Peter talking about Russell and, you know, lack of weapons and all that stuff, but there may be something to Russell Wilson's been a tad distracted this year. I don't know about you, but when I have a long bye week, I decide to go on a horse down to Mexico and to go be on the ocean
nice.
With Sierra. Yeah.
Very nice.
It's a distraction. She's a distraction. That is a, those are, what do you want me to say?
I was teasing Jared Cohen earlier this morning. We saw the pictures. I said, he and Steph, his wife, they should go do some of these shoots, but they'd have to go to Big Surf because they're, I mean.
Big Surf. He's got a hook
there's
up
no,
Big Surf,
there's no beaches anywhere close to us. I guess if you drove to well, Mexico
or San his Diego. Wife is, look, this is nothing against both of you guys. Both of you guys could take your brides. Your brides are just drop dead gorgeous, as mine, but. You know, I've been married 27 years and four kids. So that's looking like a couple 25-year-olds running around on the beach. What do you want? What do we expect from these guys?
I'm not the one that had the problem with it. So
I'm not having a problem with it. I'm just thinking he's going to be a tad distracted.
Bye weeks, good-looking people,
horses.
Private jets, horses.
Of course.
Lots of money. That probably equals a nice little getaway to Mexico.
If you come out on the short end, though, of the stick, there's going to be people in Seattle that are not going to be happy with this. Man, if the Cardinals go get whacked up there this week, you talk about the good ship Arizona just sinking quickly with some fans. Because the problem here is, and I will point this out, the problem here is I don't sense that there's a whole lot of loyalty to what's going on. This is a football state. It's not a Cardinal state yet. And it's not going to be a Cardinal state yet until they win over and over and over. So guys like me that point out that their six wins have come against teams with a combined record of 14-36, I'm merely pointing out facts. And as big a fan as I am of the coach, because I think he's terrific. But I don't know if Steve Keim has enough on this roster on the defensive side of the football. I don't know if they have enough there to be anything more than a good football team. Not great. And last year when the bandwagon was running full steam and Carson went down, and so far this year, Carson hasn't taken very many big shots. Again, they played teams that are 14-36. And the teams that have been good, the Rams got to Carson and the Steelers got to Carson a little bit. One team on their schedule the rest of the way with a losing record. So I'm very, very intrigued by that. The NFL this year, I've gone through seasons – of the NFL where I've looked at it and said, man, this product just is not that good. This year has been terrific. It's been so good. Even when you have teams that stink out loud like the Bears and Chargers, I'm there last night watching. Even last week, it was the Bungles and the Brownies. The Bungles and Brownies were not a bad game to watch. The way the NFC West is shaping up, even the 49ers can roll Blaine Gabbert out there and win a game. Blaine Gabbert. That is the quarterback depth in the NFL. I saw where the Rams signed Wes Welker today or yesterday. Wes Welker, terrific back in the day. He's one of those guys, unfortunately, that I'm going to want to see what he's doing with his life in 10 to 15 years from now because he's had so many shots to the head and he's been concussed so many times. He's now at the point where I'm going to sit out until the middle of the season and then I'm going to choose my destination. I'm going to choose where I want to go. Matt Flynn, same way, quarterback, just hanging out, been out hunting. And last night, Luke McCown goes down with an injury. So Matt Flynn now all of a sudden shows up in week 9 to go be on an NFL roster. Some of these guys are just sitting out there saying, I can't do a full season. Like I saw Darnell Dockett surface the other day on Twitter. They did a deal for him at his high school, his jersey being retired. And I'm just wondering, okay, is he one of these guys or is he completely, totally done? Or is he going to be one of these guys that needs to come back and get a check? Because he can't scratch the itch. He can't get away and move on. Ray Rice is starting to do the circuit. He just is. Is Ray Rice one of these guys that's going to say, nobody's giving me a job? Is there collusion going on here? So there's all sorts of interesting angles here at the midpoint of the season. People say Peyton Manning stinks. I don't know. He's not what he once was. But I watched him against Andrew Luck the other day. It was very entertaining. It's very entertaining. Tonight, the Coyotes play against the Kings. The Suns are off till Thursday when they host the Clippers. I'm actually looking forward to that game because I think the Clippers are one of these teams that can be an absolute train wreck this year. I think that they're a team that has so much sitting there on the surface and could actually completely fall apart. And now the Golden State's 8-0. And the Suns are, I don't know what to make out of them. I'm getting these notes about how unlikable they are, that there's not somebody to grasp onto. I get that. I especially get it when they haven't played very well here in the first couple of weeks of the season. But it's to me, it's still a little too early to say you can't find guys to embrace. Give them a chance, play 20 games, then make your own conclusions about them. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content up on our website to check out. On Sports360AZ.com, we're Arizona-centric. A lot of national stuff like Peter King. He joins us every week. The NFL Network's Michael Fabiano. He's with us every week tomorrow. It's Fantasy Football Wednesday. So have your fantasy football questions ready for the NFL Network's Hall of Famer. And I think Brock Huard's going to be with us tomorrow as we roll through another week. Jake Plummer's with us every Thursday. Goody at the Movies and Paula Bovin, too. It's all right here. Thanks for being with us.